most nights in South Carolina. Ain't nothing finer than me and my girl striking up a little lighter, 'cause everybody's mad.
Welcome to the show on a Wednesday morning, a day that the Bank of Canada cut the key interest rate to 2.5%. First time they've lowered it, actually, in a few months. March was the last time they lowered it. So trade disruptions, slowing economic growth, definitely having an impact on that this morning. So one of the stories we're following, and a reminder that fog is not completely gone in all of Saskatchewan. It's lifted in some areas, but still out there. So keep the lights switched on if you're traveling out and about on the highways. Well, boy, you look at the weather. I mean, farmers are wanting hot weather. And I can think back through the years, we've had some hot September days. And we're seeing parts of the province will pump up to the high 20s this weekend. So, I mean, that means good harvest weather. It also means, if I'm being honest, good beer drinking weather, right? Sitting outside. Summer will be coming to a close. Fall starts up here in the next week, but hot temperatures. I mean, hey, you can drink beer year round, clearly. And by the way, Oktoberfest season not far away. The big celebrations in Munich will be starting up again in the next week here as well. So, I'm looking forward to this next segment because we are checking in with one of our favorite breweries, 9 Mile Legacy, out of Saskatoon. We've had Sean Moen on the show before. He's the CEO. He's also, by the way, the first vice chair of the Saskatchewan Chamber of Commerce. So we're happy to have him. We'll talk a bit about the brewing business, the industry, what it's like, what some of the challenges are. But we're going to keep Sean here, and we will open up the phone lines later this hour as well. If you've got beer-related questions, the brewing process, how they come up with flavors, pairing with certain foods, whatever it might be, that's what we'll talk about with our guest, Sean Moen, who is joining me in studio. Sean, thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Evan. It's an absolute pleasure. And I don't know if you'd plan to take open line calls about parking tickets and then pair that with a beer conversation after, but that was well done.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's lots of ways in which things are connected in this province. Well, thanks so much for joining. How is business since the last time we chatted?
Yeah, business is going well. It's, you kind of touched on it with the weather. We've had such a wonderful fall, and it just feels like that barbecue and patio season is extended. And, you know, at any time that we can get some warm sunshine in this province and extend that season, it's always like found money in a lot of ways. So, business is going well. And yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, how seasonal is the beer business? Because, I mean, I'll drink a beer in the wintertime, but it's obviously more you're going to a pub or a location like that. So how does it flow through the seasons for you?
Yeah, we've been at this for just over 10 years, and it was the same, largely the same when we were running a little growler shop to when we were running a tap room to now being more of a distributing brewery. It's like a camel hump. So if you can imagine the months as they unfold, January and February are tough slogs for generally the hospitality industry, and we're intimately connected with that. People come through Christmas and their belt isn't fitting quite right and their credit card bill's high, and they cut back on some of those nice to haves. And then you hit summer and, you start scaling up after, St. Patrick's Day, and you hit the summer and you've got events. You've got things like the Sastonberry's baseball season. You've got the jazz festival. People are enjoying being outside a bit more. Then back to school hits and it kind of starts to dip a little bit. And then as it builds toward Christmas, it kind of rises again. So I always like to think of it as a camel, and that general description has proven true in all of our different business phases.
You brought up the Saskatoon Berries ball season. I was at game 3 when they were playing the Red Sox, and I enjoyed one of your Berries beer. Man, that's good beer.
It's too early to think about that game, Evan.
I know, it was tough. Yeah. It was tough.
I unfortunately had a couple of gentlemanly bets with my friends down in Regina, so I'm paying up on that front. But what a remarkable team and a remarkable season, and it just points to what a great future we have in this city cheering on that ball team. Mm-hmm. Such an addition.
I like your ballpark too. I know if you talk with people down in Regina, they commiserate all the time about the state of the ballpark. The team itself is lobbying to try and get a new park, but I know the Saskatoon one's not perfect. I've heard the owner would like to see some changes, but boy, it's a nice place to watch ball.
It is. And it's good ball. Yeah. It's kind of riffing back on the comment of, in Saskatchewan, when that weather's nice, you sure like to be outside. There's nothing better than having a hot dog and a beer at a ball game. I challenge anyone to suggest something better.
Sean Moen is my guest, CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing, and here to talk about the business. And so the last time I had you on, we were talking a little bit about tariffs. In fact, tariffs were fairly new at that time. We've, I think, settled into whatever this norm feels like. But how is the industry, the brewing business, not just you, but the brewing industry with the tariffs and the trade uncertainty?
I think that's it's a really tricky question, and it's very layered because there's lots of different dynamics, I think, that are impacting our industry right now and in some really positive ways from a societal perspective. Focusing in on tariffs, I mean, one thing that we learned, and I'll tell a little bit of spill a little tea here in terms of what we had to do in March, as the year was unfolding and as the Americans were threatening significant tariffs, particularly on aluminum. We got out our personal credit cards and filled up our brewery with empty cans to get ahead of the tariff issue. That's largely where the brewing industry has been exposed, is on aluminum cans. Now it's kind of, the retaliatory tariffs have faded. It's all a moving target, but what we've found, and I think this is probably true in any sector, it's not so much the imposition of tariffs, but the threat that tariffs might be imposed, because that gets priced in almost right away. Mm-hmm. And so industry has to, you can imagine, if you're pricing in things based on the threat of what might happen, it's a constantly changing battlefield right now with the American administration. So
for sure.
you just, as a business, you have to be nimble, and sometimes you have to make that kind of brave decision to stick your neck out, and it was the right decision. You know, we were able to secure our inventory and kind of tariff proof our business. But so it's hard to comment like how that particular dispute is impacting our industry specifically, but it impacts discretionary spending. I'm very grateful that the Bank of Canada is proceeding in a very reactive way to unemployment numbers. I think that making sure that we're trying to build a little insulation on discretionary spending is a good thing, and it's a good thing for our industry because we're a nice to have product, and our challenge is to make it a very nice to have product, make it a really exceptional experience, so that if people are spending their kind of tight money, that it's money well spent.
We, you know, the other thing that I think in this country we have talked about a lot is we've awoken to the challenges inside our country that need to be fixed, and one of them is this notion of interprovincial trade barriers. How easily does beer flow over borders in our country? And is that something that you've seen at least steps to try and improve in the last while?
Well, I'll answer your question in kind of two ways. First, it's very tricky in the sense that every province and territory has different rules around alcohol. You know, in my former life, I was a lawyer, went to law school. And one of the first cases we take is an old constitutional reference case around the regulation of alcohol under Section 92 of the Constitution. It's a tale as old as time in terms of provinces having their own regulatory regimes. And partly that is the different social mores around alcohol consumption across the country. But a big part of it's tax revenue. So we have sold beer in both Manitoba, Alberta. In order to do that, we have to maintain separate registrations and comply with that regulatory regime. It's something you have to tackle. It's not overly onerous. But I don't see that disappearing anytime soon for those two reasons, the social mores and the taxation piece. So that's kind of my first response is, yeah, it's tricky. It's like selling to a different country in some respects. But the second point is, have you noticed how this conversation has kind of faded on interprovincial trade?
Mm-hmm.
We're now moving to big, major projects. At least that's what the federal government's talking about. And to be honest with you, I think that the interprovincial trade barriers is less of an issue less of a benefit than we really made it out to be at the start of this conversation. We need to increase our investment and our capacity and productivity and innovation in this country, in my view, and then we can start talking about relaxing barriers. It doesn't work to just drop the curtain and think we're going to get a 4-5% jump in GDP. I just don't buy that.
Mm-hmm.
How
closely is the industry? I mean, anecdotally, I've got a couple of people that I know that run breweries in Regina, Rebellion, Pile of Bones.
Yep.
They seem to be, even though, I mean, they are, I'll put it in quotes, competitors, they also seem to be a fairly tight-knit community. Do you find that in the province?
Yeah, you do. You particularly find that in the craft brewing industry. We've got, I mean, and a lot of us have grown up together, right? Like the first wave of craft beer was really Bushwhacker, Brewster's, Paddockwood. And that reaches back, in the case of the brew pubs, about 30 years, maybe more now, 40 years. And Paddockwood would have been in the early 2000s. But the bulk of that second wave was in 2014 and 2015. So we were all startup businesses at the same time. We all formed a craft brewers association around the same time. And you really get to know people as people. We're all kind of battling for that share of consumption, if you think about it in those terms. But really what you can do is feed off each other and build great experiences. And I think in a number of ways, we are very aligned in terms of intention. And frankly, you know, there's a pile of good people in this industry that you just want to succeed, even if they are trying to, you know, sell beer that competes with your beer. So
I find it refreshing. Nice. And I mean, maybe that's kind of ironic that we're talking about beer, but I do.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see a lot of industries where you see that sort of kind of amicable relationship between competitors.
The word collaboration gets thrown around a lot in our industry. And you'll see collaboration beers when you're working with other businesses or communities or people with ideas. Mm. I always like to dive into that word a little bit and just think about, well, what does collaboration actually mean? I think when we're at our best in this province, we are approaching partnerships from a relational as opposed to a transactional perspective. We're really thinking about what the other party can bring to the table and what they need. And our industry is good at that, I think. And you can see it in terms of how we interact with some of our community-based partners like festivals or the berries as an example. You know, it's not just a custom beer. There's a whole bunch of different interaction points that hopefully create a sum that's greater than the parts. And I think that is a general feature of the craft brewing industry.
Okay, we're going to take our first break. Sean is here actually for a couple more segments. So it's great when you can have a CEO of a company like 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. Hey, you have a question? We are happy to answer it. Well, Sean is. I'll pose the question. Sean can answer it. 1-877-332-8255. I've actually got a handful of stuff that has already come in this morning, but we're going to talk everything from seasonal flavors to new flavors that are on the market. In fact, I read about this chickpea beer. I want to talk a bit about that.
Yeah.
So if you've got a question about brewing, about craft breweries, about beer, We'll be happy to hear from you. 1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Sean Moen here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I expected this would happen. We start talking about beer and people want to join the conversation. 1-877-332-8255. We've actually got a call on the line we're going to get to in a second, but a number of texts that are coming in because we've got Sean Moen joining us, the CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. We're talking about the industry. We're talking about the business. Sean, what's the very first beer you ever remember drinking?
I'll date myself at legal drinking age because I'm a farm boy, Evan.
So. Yeah, well, me too. I'm not asking for the age. I'm just asking for the beer.
I remember. I'm pretty sure it was a Coors Light out of a bottle with my grandpa Tupin, so my mom's dad, and we had been doing chores out on the farm, and his comment was, well, you work like a man today, you can try some of this like a man too. So I remember that. The very first craft beer, like it was kind of in university where we started to have different tasting beer, and that started to really open my eyes. And you know, there was Guinness was a big one for me, and it still is. I think Guinness is an incredible product, but that's where it really started to challenge what flavors were available.
Very cool. I like Guinness as well, but I remember loving Calgary and the Stubbies, right? The old Stubby bottle. Yeah. And the reason I'm asking this is because I got a text from Sheldon, who is kind of reminiscing on the text line, enjoying this conversation we're having about beer, but basically saying he always enjoyed drinking a beer out of a bottle. Mm-hmm. What is that like for you in the industry where I'm assuming it's an expense thing using cans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of issues. We actually, when we first started packaging our beer, it was in bottles. We had big bomber bottles, and part of the theory was that consumers would prefer to drink from a bottle and enjoy beer from a bottle. But when you actually, you start to break it down, aluminum cans check a lot of boxes. Beer is very sensitive to light. And so aluminum totally takes light out of the equation. If you've had a skunky Corona, you know what I'm talking about. Oxidation is easier to control. Cans are lighter, so you have less transportation cost, less carbon footprint. And the cans, I think, like the liners in the cans have gotten better, so you don't have that metallic taste that you might have had.
Right.
You know, when we were younger and making that choice as rural beer drinkers. So I think cans tick a lot of boxes, and you can get them in a lot of different sizes now too. We're starting to see higher alcohol beer by some breweries in smaller stubby 250 mil cans, which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So there's optionality. I do like the stubbies, and I do think That we will play around with that on occasion as a brewery. That's just a nostalgia piece that with the right product you can release and have some fun with.
For sure. Absolutely. Yep. Sean Moen is my guest. Let's go to the phone line. I want to grab this call from Randy in Dundurn. Thanks for calling, Randy. You've got a question for Sean. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Sean, you and your group were instrumental in getting the provincial government to change the rules to attract investment in the brewing industry. And I want to thank you for that. Because you guys did a lot of work. And I think, you know, your comment about, you know, the interprovincial trade barriers and stuff and getting our act together on the national stage is exactly correct. I mean, we've had the government chase away investments and stuff. And I think you can, you know, talk to people in regards to the things you went through, you and your group went through to get this provincial government to open the brewing industry. And look what it's done for Saskatchewan in regards to investment and for the events and all the things that are going on.
Good stuff. You have a question, or are you just wanting to hear Sean talk to that, Randy?
Well, I want to, you know, let Sean know what the challenges they went through in regards to the provincial side and how on the federal side we're facing the same challenges on attracting investment, and how, as he stated, that if we can get the federal side repeating some of the stuff they've done and attract investment, it also helps the brewing industry. Mm. Across Canada.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, Randy. John?
Well, Randy, and you know, I think you raise an excellent point, because you take a look at some of the macro numbers around innovation and investment, and we're, you know, we're really low on the list, way lower than we should be internationally. So I 100% agree with you. You know, we made good headway in 2016 in terms of modernizing the regulatory regime in Saskatchewan. And a big part of that was aligning the interests of a number of our smaller producers so that we really understood where we were aligned and where we were competitive. But then also having an honest broker in the form of the provincial government to really approach the regulatory regime in a way that made sense. You know, before that reform process, I'll use Pataquit as an example. You originally had to ship all of your packaged beer down to the distribution center in Regina, and then it would get shipped back out to retail permittees or on-premise permittees. So if Pataquit wanted to sell beer across the street, it had to ship it down to Regina and then back up. That obviously didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
And so a big part of it was establishing a relationship of trust, you know, emphasizing with the government that these are operators that are responsible, that are wanting to do things in a socially responsible way. And then creating regulations that provided pathways towards growth. So that was our process back in 2016. And I do think that reform project, you know, it was a matter of debate amongst producers as to whether the right changes were made. But it did set the stage for significant growth in the industry. A change that I'm really excited about that isn't just focused on craft brewing. It's focused on food and beverage is the Small and Medium Enterprise Investment Tax Credit that is coming out this fall. The legislation was passed. We're just refining the regulations. But it will allow a 45% provincial tax credit for people investing in the sector. We need capital in the sector. We need innovation. We need productivity.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Sean Moen is my guest, CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. We're talking all things beer, all things brewing. We can talk the business side of it. I kind of want to get into the taste side of it. Let's talk seasonal beer. Let's talk about this new chickpea beer. And I've got a number of questions coming in. We welcome your texts, your questions here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back. If you are just joining us, Sean Moen is my guest in studio, CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. And we are talking about the brewing industry, all things beer. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-877-332-8255. I got a number that I'm going to get to in a second. Where did the vision come from? Remind me of the story, 9 Mile Legacy. You were a lawyer. How and why the transfer into the beer business?
Yeah, been asked that question a fair bit over the years, and certainly at the time. Back around 2013, my business partner and I, as my business partner is Garrett Peterson, my best friend, you know, longtime friend, we were homebrewing together, and we kind of reached the point in our careers where it was either lock in for that pretty predictable career path or take a swing at something different. I always wanted to create with my law degree, and so business was something I was very interested in. And we ended up quitting our jobs and traveling and working in different breweries around the world. The name we kind of tripped over, excuse me, Nine Mile Legacy. It's our two family farms are located 9 miles apart in the Cabri Abbey area in the southwest corner of the province. For about 100 years, five generations of Moens and Petersons have found ways to collaborate around agriculture together. And so we kind of, the light bulb went on. We were really collaborating around agriculture with this brewery. And cool. So it really caused us to dive into common values and how you approach community development. How do you approach integrity and partnership? And so that was the genesis of the brewery. We started out super small, Evan, brewing 100 liters at a time, a little growler shop beside the farmer's market, graduated to a taproom facility over on 20th Street, and ultimately in our production facility over on 21st Street, just a couple blocks away from that taproom.
So yeah.
It's been over 10 years, and I've got the gray hair to prove it. We didn't have, none of us, life happens in that time frame, yeah. Right? So now we're all young parents with little kids. And so we've now started to make some non-alcoholic products. We've got a Sastonberry lemonade we did with the berries. And my son Pierce was actually able to participate in that project with us because, you know, obviously alcohol isn't involved. So I had him running a lemonade stand, and it was his first job, kind of. And he was out sampling the lemonade, and he was very proud of himself. And
that's awesome.
Such an opportunity to teach, right?
For sure.
Well, I got some attention earlier when I mentioned that you've got a new chickpea beer, and I want to hear about that because it's opened up a few questions and texts on the text line. But let's talk about that because it's a partnership, right?
It is. Yeah. It's actually. Not our idea, which is a wonderful thing. We've, as part of our brewery, we have breathed life into an innovation hub, LGCY Innovation Hub, which provides fermentation capacity for people that have really good ideas. This is the brainchild of a wonderful person named Marion Osmus, who farms with her family down in the Leader area. They grow great chickpeas and are leaders in the irrigation area. And she came up to me a couple years ago and said, I've had a long-standing dream of making a chickpea beer. Would you guys take a swing at it? She loves the Rebellion lentil beers. I know a number of people across the province do.
Yeah.
So we took a swing at this with Marion. And what we were able to do is prototype out this beverage. And it's actually 40% chickpeas. We still need some barley for the enzymes in the product, but 40% is a very high number for anyone familiar with beer to have an odd ingredient. And really what we're looking at, not to get too nerdy about this, but how does the starch in chickpea actually convert into a usable fermentable sugar? And so with our fermentation hub, we're actually able, overseen by one of my colleagues, who is, chasing her PhD, Cassie Appelt. And we're able to add a degree of scientific rigor and data analysis to really dig into what chickpeas can do in the glass. So it's not for sale just yet. We're just deciding how to roll that out to the marketplace. Marion and her family commissioned a prototype, and that's how we've kind of breathed life into this thing. So
I love it.
A very cool project, and we're just really eager to see more and more and more of it.
I love it. Gary actually texting in as we're talking, saying, I'm listening to you talk about beer made from chickpeas. Mm-hmm. He also brings up the brew from lentils. I love that Rebellion lentil beer. He's wondering, is there any research into, he's saying canola seed, but where are things at with other opportunities in agriculture?
Aren't we all looking to diversify uses for canola right now? The closest we've come, we've not played around with canola. I think we've maybe had some of those conversations around it, but we did a canary seed beer for the Canary Seed Commission. It was an El Piste beer, and it was so cool. It was just for their AGM, and it came out like a cream soda. It had this like toasted vanilla notes to it. So it was hard for us to figure out how to release it in a logical way into the beer industry because people would drink it and think, what the heck is this? But I like that story because with these sorts of ideas, you don't totally know where they're going to go. And I think that is how we need to approach ag value generally. We need to think about a yes, how attitude and really be open to the pathways because we could really unlock something that is super cool, super beneficial to the consumer and add a lot of value. So
we're chatting today with Sean Moen, the CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. So a number of texts coming in, one asking about how you come up with different flavors. Where does that come from? I'm curious to hear your thought on that because I heard a story that you actually did a battle with AI recently. Is that right?
Well, and it's not that recently. So this was in 2022. And that was, it was as ChatGPT was just starting to be accessible to the mainstream. We were goofing around at a coffee in the morning with our team and asking it different questions, mainly getting it to say poems and songs and that sort of thing. But came up with the idea that we were going to challenge it to come up with a recipe. My business partner, Garrett, would come up with a recipe. And then we had a competition, a tasting competition in our old tap room. And it was kind of a man versus robot. So two very cool things about that project. One, we ended up on the front page of Bloomberg Technology internationally for that project, because this was right at the start of AI.
Right.
And it has progressed, as all of us, I'm sure, are aware, has progressed significantly as it's gone. We found we wanted to start to change the narrative around a little bit and talk about it not as replacing people, but as a tool to accelerate certain things. And I think that's where it's gone so far. The second really cool piece was we called it Man versus Robot. And Garry Kasparov retweeted the project on Twitter. So Garry Kasparov is the great Russian chess player who took on IBM back in the, heaven help me out, 90s, you know, I think it was. And so for Garry Kasparov to be paying attention to this, it was just super, super cool. It was one of these transcendent projects. And you never quite know how these projects go in our industry. So,
you know, we're talking about the grains that are used, your chickpea beer. Mm-hmm. We talk about lentil. I had the team from Great West Brewing on this program before, yep. And they talked about locally sourced grain. So is this another market for farmers?
Yeah, the rough stat that I'm aware of is craft beer will use about 6 times the amount of malt barley as a larger scale commercial brewer. Larger scale commercial brewers may be using different ingredients, but we're using all malt barley. We have from the very start, and we continue proudly to do so, used malt barley from Prairie Malt in Bigger, Saskatchewan, and Maker's Malt in Rosser, in Saskatchewan. These are, you know, within 100-mile radius. And so it's pretty hard to get much more local than that. We should be known for our high-quality beer in Saskatchewan. It's just as, you know, regions in France should be known for their high-quality wine. And within all of that, like, I think you can have a bit of a connoisseur approach to malt barley that isn't really possible with large mainstream beer. We're doing a project with Seeger Wheeler this fall, where the group at Seeger Wheeler Heritage Farm have propagated up an original barley variety that Seeger Wheeler would have grown. And Maker's Malt has then grown it further, malted it, and we're releasing that original variety in a beer. And that's the sort of thing that's possible in Saskatchewan when you have such close communities and collaborative mentality.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting stuff. We're coming close to another break, but there's more questions coming in. This one taking us back into the talk we had about interprovincial trade barriers. Quickly, Cameron in Regina wants to know, is the industry worried about pressure and competition from breweries, for example, in Ontario or other parts of Canada, if those trade barriers come down?
I can't speak for the industry generally, but I think about it. I really, if you reduce trade barriers and you haven't properly built up your local economy, it's going to favor well-capitalized industries. And as it stands, that would be Ontario, BC, Quebec, Alberta to an extent. Now, I think when you travel and you look to have a beer, you look for the local beer. We will always have that advantage. I'm not worried about that. And we've never been worried about competing on quality. But I think it's a real issue to think about on this interprovincial trade barrier topic.
For sure. Okay, we're going to take our last break. We'll come back and finish up our hour with Sean Moen, CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. As I said, if you have a question, I've still got a few more that I want to get to. 1-877-332-8255. Seasonal flavors, pairing with food, whatever you want to talk about, that's where we're going when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. You can have a beer in Saskatchewan. 1-877-332-8255. Last little segment here, open lines on the questions that you have for Sean Moen, who is my guest, CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing Company. We've got about 7 minutes left, so I'm going to try, Sean, to cram in a number of questions here.
That's
you
cool.
Keep talking about an ecosystem that you're building, yeah. And I heard you talking about MOUs with the university. Can you talk about this food hub concept?
Yeah, so our LGCY Innovation Hub is a hub. It's exactly that. Think about it as a connective place. It's some fermentation capacity and some expertise that's available. We're partnered with the U of S. We're partnered with the Food Center. We've got a number of industry partnerships as well, and it's really about knitting together all of the various participants in the ecosystem so we can totally level up this food and beverage ag value ecosystem.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the text line. This is quite the question. It's very specific from James in Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Can you ask the 9 Mile guys if their Ella Pale used to be an IPA? He goes on to say, I swear I remember having it from a cask 10 years ago as an IPA.
James, you are correct. Tell your friends that you are the smartest beer radio listener. We changed the recipe a couple years ago. We had an Australian brewer, changed it to a Pacific Pale Ale. The challenge with the old recipe, it was really tough to keep shelf stable. And so as we started canning, we had to refine it a bit.
This is making me laugh because there's a text from Mike saying, does anyone really like IPAs or are they just pretending to sound cool in front of their friends?
Mike, 40 to 45% of craft beer drinkers drink IPA. But keeping in mind that craft beer is probably about 5 to 6% of the Saskatchewan beer sales. So people that like IPA a lot. As a craft brewer, you have to put out a few IPAs to really satisfy them, but there's still a place for that cold, crisp, light lager.
I got a text from Quick Pick, who's, I'm guessing, combining today in Tufnell, unless it's still wet out that way. But he says, great combo on the local malt barley, 9 Mile fantastic beer. How difficult is it to source local hops?
Not that difficult in this sense. There's a great commercial hop grower out of Moosomin called JGL Shepherd. The challenge with hops is because it's so terroir-based, in order to get the huge mosaic of flavors, you kind of have to look all over the world. So we use Australia, New Zealand hops. We use hops from the Pacific Northwest, from Europe. It's a global supply chain piece in a different way than malt is. But JGL Shepherd's putting out some great stuff, and we've worked with them on occasion.
Sean Moen is my guest, 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. Do you have to take, is there training to become a brewmaster?
No, maybe there should be. Just a couple of homebrew guys can start a brewery, as we've proven with 9 Mile. I think that is a challenge in our industry, and quality needs to be of the utmost importance. You generally have lots of people that are very passionate about making their beer. Our job as an industry is to keep pushing quality and emphasizing good practices so that every craft beer that you have is a good one. And we're getting a lot better in that respect, I think, in the province as it continues on.
Do you think about food pairings when you are coming up with flavors, or you're doing, even if it's just promotion of your product, is the pairing with food something you consider?
I love a good meal. I'm also I'm a big fan of wine, and wine generally gets that shiny spot for pairing with food, but beer is just as dynamic, if not more. You think about wine and cheese, beer and cheese. Cheese is essentially grain that's passed through a cow and converted into enzymes into milk, right? Beer is the same way. It's a grain that's passed through an enzyme and converted into beer. So you can just really play with different beer and cheese. We've got some great cheese purveyors in the province at Takeaway Gourmet down in Regina, and Cheese Shop over on 33rd Street, just the Cheese List. Just excellent variety now, and you can really play around. A couple of my favorite pairings, you can get really nerdy on this, and you can spend a pile of time talking about it. It's just like pairing anything. You can have complementary flavors, contrasting flavors. Two of my favorite pairings, vanilla ice cream and stout. You can make a stout float. It's fantastic. And then I'm a blue cheese fan and an IPA fan, Mike. Sorry about that. But the hoppiness of an IPA kind of kicks the blueiness of the blue cheese. And those two, that pairing just dances together in a nice, creamy, and very pleasant way. And I just find the world is your oyster when it comes to pairing. No pun intended, because oysters pair very well with stout as well.
And I was going to say, I mean, you get a marketing A+ when you're talking about dancing together when you're talking flavors. I love it. By the way, often I'm trying to get away from acronyms, and I've got a text from Cooper and Watson. Mm-hmm. What's IPA? So
yep.
India Pale Ale, correct?
Yes,
and
India Pale Ale.
What is that then?
The historic weave of a story is that the British Empire, when it was colonizing India, had to go around the Horn of Africa to get there. The trip was long. The trip was hot. Most beer would spoil, aside from the beer that was higher in alcohol and higher in hops, because hops are both alcohol and hops are preservatives. So that's the genesis of the style. An English IPA wouldn't resemble an American IPA in the least. It's much more like a malty or pale ale. You take the style into the American craft beer movement and the great hops of the Pacific Northwest that are very citrusy and piney, and it gets put on steroids. So with an IPA, an India Pale Ale, it's going to be bitter, it's going to be citrusy, it's going to have a piney resin nose, and that's all from the hops doing some heavy lifting. But the romantic story of these hoppy, boozy beers going to India over a hot ocean voyage is always sticks with me a bit.
I got a text from Jace wanting to know, out of curiosity, your favorite out of your own lineup.
Oh man, I You know, our top seller from the start has been the Ticket. It's a blonde, a Belgian style blonde ale, and it's a very versatile beer. And I'm finding as I, you know, it's maybe a trope as I get a bit older, I'm looking for softer flavors, maybe more of an everytime beer. And the Ticket is something that I reach for. When I'm looking at our beer. Yep.
We're out of time. You've been a great guest, and I know you've heaped lots of praise on competitors we've talked about. This province has great everything from Great West Brewing, Rebellion. We talked about a bunch of them, but let's give you a quick plug. You've got a tap room. Where is it? Where can people find you?
We unfortunately don't have a tap room just yet, Evan. It's caused a lot of confusion for people.
Okay.
But we do have a little retail store over on 402 21st Street West. And I forgot to mention my favorite pairing with beer. It's having the right people around you. There's nothing like a pint of beer to have great socialization with people. So, yeah.
Been a great
curate
chat.
Your experience.
Been
thank
a great
you,
chat,
yep.
Sean. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Take care. Yeah, have a great rest of your day.
Sean Moen, CEO of 9 Mile Legacy Brewing. Thanks to everyone who joined in the conversation. Your texts really do make these sorts of conversations come alive, and we appreciate it. Okay, Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener, coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.